Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's FPIW.org or FPIWaction.org. We are in our series, Getting to Know Jesus, and I hope you're enjoying this series as we travel through the book of Luke. And we're investigating the testimony and research of Luke as he looks into the life of Jesus Christ. So today we're going to talk about the whole night in prayer. And do we pray enough in Washington? And so before we get in there, I want to talk about what is happening in Washington. But before I do that, if you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much for your generosity. It does help us accomplish our goal, which is to change our heart so that we change the public square. Also, if you're enjoying this series, subscribe, like, share, and comment, or place inside that Washington Defender app. So I want to talk about what's happening in Washington. I want to do something a little bit different. Usually I do like a summary paragraph. Todd Myers from the Washington Policy Center wrote an excellent article, and it was in the Spokesman Review. So I want to read the whole article. The main thing, getting Spokane families home again. Where did Spokane go from here? Let me try that again. Where does Spokane go from here? How do we prevent similar catastrophes from happening again in Spokane and other communities? These are not idle questions for me. I have worked on wildland fire policy for more than a quarter century. I have friends who lost homes and were evacuated, and my wife and I are moving to Spokane soon and want to help our future community be vibrant and safe. A few principles can help Spokane recover and rebuild. First, the key to recovering and preventing similar disasters is to follow the advice of Stephen Covey, who advised that the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. State and local leaders must focus on rebuilding the homes that were destroyed and avoid being distracted by ancestral issues. In the coming months, we are likely to hear special interest groups demand that homes be rebuilt without natural gas, that the city mandate union labor, or any number of other requirements that increase the cost of rebuilding. Attempting to rig the rules to profit financially or politically from rebuilding will only prolong misery of those who have lost their homes. Todd, amen. Already, former Governor Jay Inslee used the disaster to highlight his favorite issue, climate change. His political impulse distracts from more immediate causes of the fire, and solutions can make a difference from families now. Even under the most successful climate policies, temperatures will be higher in the year 2100 than they are today. Indeed, Inslee's climate policies failed, and Washington's CO2 emissions increased virtually every year he was in office. Fixating on ideology rather than tangible solutions is likely to fail, leaving Spokane and its residents worse off. Spokane leaders must learn the lesson of Inslee's failure and be willing to change and adapt to new information. The mayor and city council should remove existing regulatory barriers, emphasizing quick rebuilding and low cost. The state's new state building codes will add needless permit delays and increase costs for no environmental benefit. If people want to include expensive new heating equipment or other elements, they should do that. However, people should not be kept out of their homes because Olympia thinks they should build a different house. It would also be hypocritical when an overpass across Interstate 90 was damaged last year. The state cut the red tape to accelerate rebuilding. If government can do it for its own projects, it can do it for families who've lost their homes. And while climate policies won't prevent future fires, the governor and legislature must be more serious about how they use the billions in tax dollars being generated by the state's tax on CO2 emissions. Hundreds of millions of dollars have been wasted on projects such as bicycle education and corporate giveaways like industrial symbiosis, rather than actions that reduce the risk of wildland fire, flooding, and other natural catastrophes. Spokane is now a case study in the high cost of frivolous government spending. Perhaps the greatest challenge Mayor Lisa Brown and the city council will face is psychological. They'll have to set aside existing policy agendas and prioritize rebuilding the community. This will be hard, but it is important and will secure their legacy. If Spokane can rapidly rebuild and return homeowners to their homes, it will create jobs, ease their suffering of families, and create a community that is vibrant and desirable. That will require city leaders to make rebuilding a priority and let go of other agendas that are now simply less important. 3 years from now, the success or failure of mayor and council will be clear. Has the neighborhood been rebuilt, or did people give up and move across the border? The evidence will be there for all to see. Nothing can replace the lost memories and the pain of the catastrophe. The priority now must be to mitigate that loss, reduce regulatory barriers to rebuilding, and sweep away distractions from taking steps to prevent the next firestorm. If city leaders can succeed, it will not only be a remarkable success story, it will be a model for cities across the state dealing with disaster. And this was by Todd Myers of Clallam, Washington, and he's the vice president for research at the Washington Policy Center. Now, those are great ideas, Todd, and I think that I don't know how to say it any better. So I just read it, and I hope that benefits you today. All right, let's dive into God's word. Let's pray for those families real quick. Heavenly Father, we pray that our elected leaders who are going to have the opportunity to lead based upon what is right, or lead based upon ideology and bribes and financial impact and what they can get from it, I pray that they will choose the righteous way, God, and that is to lay down their ideology, lay down their financial gains, lay down their special interest groups, and remove the red tape and let people rebuild their homes and get back into a normal life. So, Lord, we just pray for that wisdom, that insight. We do pray that you would go before each of these leaders locally and abroad in Olympia, and that you would just touch them in Jesus' name. Amen. Todd, thank you for that article, and sorry for butchering some of those words. All right, let's dive into Luke chapter 6. It was at that time that he went off to the mountains to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. I want you to look at that. Jesus, the Son of God, fully God but fully man, went off and to speak to the Father for a whole night in prayer. I think the solution to a lot of what we are experiencing in Washington State is not political anger. It is not yelling at each other, but it's prayer and then speaking truth to our neighbor, to those in authority, with godly wisdom. And Jesus models for us, pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer. And when day came, he called the disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he had also named as apostles. Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was also called the Zealot, Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place, and there was a large crowd of his disciples and a great throng of people from all of Judah and Jerusalem and the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were being cured, and all the people were trying to touch him, for power was coming from him and healing them all. So my main thing for today was, we need to be people of prayer. The only thing that's going to change our state is a heart change. Now, when I say people of prayer, some hear that and they think of being passive. Was Jesus passive? I mean, did he not confront the cultural issues of the day? Did he not speak out? In fact, we're going to go into the Sermon on the Mount here, the Beatitudes. I mean, did he not speak out on current issues? Did he not participate in both the religious ideology of the Pharisees and challenge those ideologies? Also, he challenged the Roman ideologies to a certain degree. I mean, we see like he was active in what he did. So why the focus on prayer? I mean, people will say this, yeah, we need to pray, but no, we need to pray. And then once we have our direction from the Lord, then we know how to do the action that God is calling us to in the way that God is calling us to for the glory of the one who called us once we have the heart of God inside of us. See, prayer is not being passive. You know, we prayed for the families of the fires here in Spokane. Now, if we just left it at that, I don't know. We need to hear the voice of God and allow him to direct us on where we are to go, how we are to interact, who are we to interact with, what our voice should be in those areas. I think oftentimes when we think, well, I prayed, we just kind of relinquish everything else of our responsibility. And I want to challenge that. No, we're praying for Governor Bob Ferguson to have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, for President Trump to be influenced and have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I do it at the end of each of these day, every day. We also are asking God for the opportunity to share Jesus with those individuals, to share wisdom, to be the Daniel to the Nebuchadnezzar, you might say. See, prayer is not the starting and stopping point. Prayer is like going to the locker room with God, hearing what his game plan is so that we can step out and do what he's called us to do. It was at that time that Jesus went off to the mountains to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer. I'm not saying I have this down. I know that there's been times where I've talked more than I have prayed. I know that there's times when I prayed and then didn't do what the Lord has challenged me to do. In no way am I saying I'm perfect in this. I am saying this is where my heart is, that God has called me to hear his voice and then to act and step out in his voice of what he's called me to do. My hope is that you'll join me in that as well. I think oftentimes when we look at these verses, and we hear the calling of the 12 and we see the power coming out of Jesus to heal and to be empowered, to empower others and to touch them. I think we focus on that and we forget the foundational element. He spent time with the Father before he did any other of the other actions. And then when he stepped into that public square, the actions had been directed because his heart was aligned with the Father. Now, I recognize that Jesus is the Son of God, fully God and fully man. So nothing that I'm saying is trying to negate that. Washington State needs prayer warriors all around who will pray, hear the heart of God, and then take action on what God has spoken to them. That's my hope for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray for those families again in Spokane, and we do ask that you would touch them in the name of Jesus. Give us wisdom. Give us practical ways to tear down the red tape and to help rebuild. We pray that the church will come alongside and help families rebuild their homes and let it be cost effective. And we just pray for favor for those families, God. Lord, we also lift up Olympia. We lift up the surrounding area of Washington. We have gotten so far off, and we are making government our God. We repent of that. We ask for your forgiveness. We ask that we can turn to you, the living God, that you are our provider. You are our justice. You are our hope. Lord, we lift up Governor Bob Ferguson to you. Go before him today. Surround him today. Lord, we know if you can get Nebuchadnezzar's attention, you can get Governor Bob Ferguson's attention. We pray the same for President Trump. Get his attention today. Let him have a holy encounter with you today, God. We lift up our other elected officials on the federal level, Patty Murray, Maria Cantwell, Michael Baumgartner. There's so many. I wish I knew all the names, God. Let them have an encounter with you, God. Let them have wisdom from you, God. God, we thank you for what you want to do. even locally with Rob Chase and Leonard Christian and, you know, just so many people that are in authority over us, God. Give them wisdom, give them insight, let them, I never thought about this, but let them have an encounter with you, the Holy God, today. We ask this by faith through grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Now get out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that Champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach. But you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.